Last week, it was reported that the pay gap between men and women is narrowing. However, a recent report by the Australian Council of the Arts has found that the pay gap between men and women is actually wider in the arts than the average gap across all industries in Australia. Head of research from the Australian Council of the Arts, Lisa Walsh, joins us now to discuss these results. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning, Tom and Ian.
Can you speak to us a bit about the methodology behind this report?
Sure. We conducted the research with Macquarie University, the Department of Economics. They're led by Professor Throsby. It's primarily a quantitative survey, which he conducts across a range of professional artists. Around about 1,000 artists were surveyed for the research, and this is the sixth time that the Australia Council has run this research with Macquarie University, adopting a very similar methodology across those six survey iterations.
Hi Lisa, it's Ian here. Was the report able to identify why there is such a gap as opposed to other industries in the arts?
Yeah, well, it's a really interesting one, and actually one we're going to explore some more. But three factors have emerged from the research that indicate, you know, that disparity between the income earned by female artists versus males to be somewhere around about 30% for their artistic work. And across the workforce, as you mentioned, it's presently around about 16% gap in female wages compared to male. So we think for artists, there are probably at least three things going on. And so far, we think that the responsibilities of childcare still from this research seem to be falling to the female artists more so than the male, with nearly 4 in 10 of female artists indicating that having childcare responsibilities has restricted their work as an artist at some point during their career. Second factor we think is at play possibly for some female artists is we found that regional female artists were also disadvantaged, and there's probably a variety of things going on there in terms of access to markets, audiences, maybe some technology things going on for female artists in regional areas, and just plain old support and the sort of support of infrastructure and the support of peers is possibly less apparent for regionally based artists. So that's something that we'll also explore some more in further research. And the other interesting thing, which has come through more so in Australia Council data, is there possibly is some sense of some female artists undervaluing their artistic work. And an example of that is the Australia Council provides grants to artists to support their practice. And in the past 3 years, in analysing that data, we see that female artists have asked for 7% less than their male counterparts when seeking grants from the Australia Council. So maybe there is that sort of notion of some undervaluing of their work. So there are three factors, and we'll continue to explore those some more because it's a very important area for us to better understand.
Lisa, did you find that inequality led to a disparity of women actually being able to move further into the arts, like further their career into the arts, or even move into, you know, positions of industry?
Yeah, that's a really good question. It's not something that we've fully explored in this piece of work, but you'd think that given that they're unable to practice or derive as much income from their artistic practice, that it would have other stymieing effects, you know, on their career progression. So again, that's something that we will want to explore a bit further.
Now, your report found that the total average of income of artists falls 21% below the Australian workforce average. Now, given that presumably many artists would work on freelance work, how do artists generally make ends meet?
Well, exactly, via freelance work and often across a variety of industries. So we found that on average most artists have at least, you know, three sources of income, be that from their artistic practice, obviously a portion of income derived from that, and then some other form of work. And often it's a mixture of in the arts. It could be teaching, it could be administrative work in the arts, or indeed outside of the arts is the other obvious source where they could have, you know, another job in a completely different sector. But all adding up to, I guess, a somewhat fragile sources of income, with, unlike some some lucky people in our nation having sort of ongoing full-time jobs and all the benefits that those sorts of jobs bring with a degree of security, regular superannuation, holidays and that sort of thing. With artists having multiple jobs in order to sustain a living, it does create a somewhat fragile income sources and a degree of, insecurity for their future. And obviously artists are not alone in this insecurity, in this notion of sort of portfolio sorts of careers, as we see that has grown across the Australian labour market. But artists, very much, making a living from a variety of sources.
We're speaking with Lisa Walsh, the head of research at the Australian Council of Arts, about a recent report examining the economic issues facing Australian artists. Lisa, were you able to identify any trends or broad attitudes within the Australian community toward artists? I was thinking particularly of a comment that you hear from so many people about why artists really should be paid to, paint or sing or dance. There seems to be the valuing of the cultural, value.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really interesting one. And when we sort of stop and think about how much arts and culture influence our life, we did a survey earlier this year about sort of participation in the arts and found that arts are part of 98% of Australians' lives. Obviously, things like music, where people actively go out and seek to listen to music with, vast millions of Australians doing that every day, and that's part of the arts. And obviously musicians are key to our culture. Reading books, going to dance concerts, attending theatre, looking at, visual arts and crafts, all of those things. So we find that people are out there regularly attending arts and enjoying arts and culture. And they say, when we've asked them about sort of their attitudes towards the arts, we find that people tell us that it brings them insight into other worlds, and it brings them new learning, brings them obviously joy, escapism, but it's a very powerful means by which a society can get to know itself and get to know others, and that's obviously very important with a very culturally and linguistically diverse society that we have here in Australia. So it's a very powerful thing, as well as just the sheer joy and entertainment value that arts bring to virtually all Australians almost every day.
Is it something possibly that because of that, 98% of Australians, interact with arts almost daily, that it's almost a given that we maybe undervalue it?
Yeah, I think that's right. And we sort of forget that without sort of looking after our artists, sufficiently such that they can do all those things, because often there isn't that sort of, as we see in this research, the material reward for that time and effort. If we don't look after and sufficiently remunerate and protect our artists in Australia, we won't have those, crucial Australian stories, on our screens, on our stages, in our books, in our music, in our poetry, etc. And that, that's something that I don't know that we'd want to live in Australia like that. So artists are vital, to our cultural well-being and also societal well-being.
Lisa, we've spoken about, and the disadvantage that many artists face in pursuing art, and obviously the double disadvantage of many women in art. How can we start to address those issues?
Well, I think it's probably through, further, we need to analyse the data further, and I've just sort of given earlier, three of the indicators that we can see coming through in the data that need further exploration. But it is, a wider sorts of policy questions that we need to consider to help support and, protect artists generally. Look at the situation of female artists, and are there, ways and means in which they can be encouraged, as well as other parts of infrastructure that can be changed to better support those. So that's an ongoing policy debate, but that we hope that this research really starts to generate.
Well, Lisa, thank you so much for speaking with us this morning.
That's a pleasure. Thanks very much, Tom and Ian.
It was Head of Research at the Australian Council of the Arts, Lisa Walsh, speaking about a new report they've released on the economic issues facing artists in Australia.